Adonai Elohim, Abba Father. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. And Lord, we lift our hands and surrender to you. For we've tried and failed ourselves. We can do nothing of ourselves. Our hope, our strength, our life is in you. And we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, as we repent for every word, thought, and deed we've done that's offended you. Every area of rebellion, stubbornness, everything that we've touched in agreement with the voice of the stranger. We break every label off of us, Lord. We sever from every emotional attachment of people, places, and things. And we ask, Lord, that the anointing break every yoke and that your truth set us free. As you search us through, remove those things and take your rightful place in our spirit, soul, and body, in our flesh, in our thoughts, our words, our steps. That you'll take your rightful place, Lord, and establish your kingdom in us and through us, the divine nature, image and likeness, character of your Son, that we'll be offsprings of the Anointed One and his anointing. Grant us the wisdom, Master, that we may be about your business as your word goes forth to each and every one here, that by the stripes of Jesus you be made whole in spirit, soul, and in body. Loose each and every one here from any spirit of bondage, mind-binding spirits, spirits of fear, spirits of oppression, spirits of deception, carnal spirits, in the name of Jesus. And command those spirits to loose and to leave the people of God and go to the pit and not return, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Give somebody a hug and tell them this is your night. God is so good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Would you grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew 7? Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Praise God. You know, if you're not willing to do whatever it takes, you don't make it. How many of you know we're in a season that is tough? We talked about last days and did a series of teachings on the last days, and I encourage you to get that teaching package. It's awesome. And if you've seen the video yet about the What If video DVD, we have them if you want one. I encourage you to get it and get an idea of what's happening. But, you know, we also talked about deadly covenants and what the enemy tries to get us to come in agreement with so it becomes a deadly covenant. Because we know that Jesus said he came to bring life and life more abundantly, but the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And he destroys many individuals because God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And in Matthew 7 and verse 13, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. In other words, many who go the easy way. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So understand something, that there is, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Savior means he's rescuing you, Lord means he's Lord over your life. And there is a difference, because many people just go to Jesus as Savior and never Lord. They've been Savior for an individual for 30 or 40 years, but never Lord. And when he becomes Lord over your life, you don't have a life. But the life he has for you is much greater than you could ever imagine. But the fear that the enemy brings doesn't want you to surrender your life. It wants you to have control over your life.
And once you lose control over your life, more and more fear gets. Until you finally come to a place and get filled with the Spirit of God where you don't care whether you're dead or alive. Are you listening? Because there's a peace that surpasses all understanding, that when you get filled with the Spirit of the living God, it's like, man, if this is death, I want it. Man, if this is what it's like to go home and this is just a little glimpse of what's happening when I get home, hallelujah, kick off the shoes and zip me up. I'm out of here. But in one aspect, it's kind of selfish because we want others to experience what we've experienced. Now, you can tell everybody about this experience. And one day they saw you as a humanite, and a week later they see you as an eternal light, and you're trying to tell them and explain this experience, and they're looking at you like you're weird. And you are. You're weird compared to the carnal realm. But in true reality, they're weird. But they must experience it. And one of the things that the enemy doesn't want to do is for people to experience it. There are many people who have received Jesus as Savior and never experienced God. That is a terrible thing. Because they became religious. And the only experiences they get is by reading the Word and getting revelation experience instead of visitation experience. But when the Lord visits you and touches you, there isn't anything more you want but more of Him. So the enemy is always there trying to prevent you from going the right way. You know, if you think that accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and everything is going to be hunky-dory, forget it. Why? Because there's a process that God brings you through that is difficult, and that pathway is narrow. And the reason He does that is so that He can squeeze you out. In other words, take Egypt or the world out of you so He can put His heavenly kingdom in you. So the path starts where it's narrow and difficult. But He gives us grace. He gives us favor. He's there standing. You know, like when a child is brand new and born, it's always carried. It's fed. Its diapers are changed. That's why it's so fun hanging around with babies. Baby Christians. Because God shows them favor. You know? I mean, He just, all of a sudden, man, He just does all kinds of stuff, visits them in dreams and visions. But those are ones that are truly wanting to know Him. Not just accept Jesus as Savior, just to escape hell. But to accept Him as Savior so that they might know Him as Lord. There's a difference. So this pathway that you and I start on is narrow and difficult. But it's, you know, it's so easy. I mean, everybody wants to take the easy way. That's human nature. Take the easy way. You know, when you go to somebody's house, you'd rather cut through the front lawn instead of go up the driveway. You know? It's easier. You know? I mean, who wants to make 5 trips back and forth to the car to carry groceries? I'll carry them in my teeth. I'll carry them under my arms. Everything. It's easier to make as least trips as possible, right? The problem is if one of them rips and busts, and then I got to pick it all up, and I should have taken the narrow path instead of the wide or broad path. Let's go a little further. In verse 15, he says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their what? Fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So what's happening here is there is a path. There is a fork in the road. And in that fork in the road that you are going in, he tells us, he says, listen, one's going to be narrow, one's going to be broad. One's going to be difficult, one's going to be easy. The one that's easy is going to lead to destruction. The one that you're going to have to fight is going to lead to eternal life. He said, but there's something about this road I want you to understand is you're going to know which direction to take by discerning the fruit. Does everybody got it? By what? Discerning the fruit. I've had people come up to me and say, you're judging me. I said, you're right. I'm judging your fruit. Not you as an individual person. I'm judging your fruit. And if your fruit stinks, I don't want you near me. I don't hang around with dirty fruit. Rotten fruit. Now, there are people that are granolas that are fruity and nutty. But there are those who have good fruit and those who have rotten fruit. And one of the ways that's going to keep you on the right path, that narrow, difficult path, which the Spirit is going to help you get through, as long as you keep surrendering your life to Him, is to be able to discern the fruit. Because the enemy is going to constantly try to get you. You'll be going down that narrow path, and the next thing you know, he's at another fork.
Hi.
And he's going to try to mislead you. So you're going to know by the fruit of which way to go. Never, please, never determine a fruit by the gifts of the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? The gifts of the Spirit are given to you to discern their fruit. You do not discern the gifts of the fruit by an individual's gifts of the Spirit. Because the gifts are what? They're what? They're out without what? Amen. So anybody can operate in the gifts of the Spirit once they've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Has everybody got it? So you never discern by the gifts of the Spirit. You discern by the character. Jesus, the Christ, the image and likeness of God Almighty, who was God Almighty, expressed a wonderful character because it's the most awesome character that could be. Adam and Eve were made in the image and likeness of Christ. Their fruits were good until they ate of the rotten fruit. Then they became rotten fruiters. So you want to always judge by the fruit to discern and maintain that path. But even as you're going on that path, the enemy's always going to come up and put a fork in that road. But before you discern which way to go, because there are areas where you'll be challenged and tempted and everything else, you must discern by the fruit. That means you must be able to see it all the way through. I am not going to take counsel from someone or expect someone that can't be submissive to authority. I don't want to hear anything they have to say. Because if they can't submit to authority, they can't submit to authority. Are you listening? That is a fruit that you're going to discern. Consistency. Someone who says they're going to do something and doesn't. Can you trust them? No. If there's not consistency. Does everybody understand what I'm sharing? So these are fruits that you must discern. And especially things that you hear. False promises. False prophecies. I get people that chase prophecies all the time. Never chase a prophecy. It will mislead you every time. You keep chasing the Lord. I'm not interested in prophecy, people's prophecies. I'm going to judge you by the fruit, your fruit, what you say and what you do, not what somebody has spoken over your life. I've got a load of prophecies I've been spoken over. You know what I do with them? Thank you, Lord. Put them on the shelf. If it comes to pass, praise God, I'll remember the prophecy. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Cool. But you never chase a prophecy. Is everybody okay? You chase the Lord. That's why you never put your hope in anything else. You put your hope in the Lord. Well, I sure hope the Lord restores my marriage. Wrong hope. You keep your hope in the Lord in every area, no matter what. You put your hope in nothing else but Him. Are you listening? Because in these areas right now, the enemy is lurking. The Bible says that the devil seeks whom he can devour, doesn't he? He said, but we got to be what? Sober and vigilant. In other words, we must have discernment. Because you can start on the right path, and the next thing, a fork will open up, and you'll agree with it, what you hear, and you'll be misled or led. So even the thoughts, your thoughts, you must judge the fruit in every area so that you can maintain that path. Believe me, there are people out there doing all kinds of things. Laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, doing all kinds of things. And when the door shuts, they're doing something else. And you must discern that. And if you're truly walking in the Spirit, God will reveal that to you. And it's not to expose that person. Are you listening? It's to protect you. So that you can pray for that person and hope that God will rescue them. Or that God will grant them repentance. Let's go a little further. Verse 21. What does he say? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who what? Does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness. Whoa. So they were operating in the gifts, weren't they? Never judge by the operation of the gifts. You judge by the fruit, the character, submissiveness. Where they're at. What are they doing? Are they lying? They say one thing and do another. Are they consistent? Are they faithful? Are they good stewards of money? Are they? Do you understand that? I'm not judging that person. I'm judging their fruit. Because the Bible tells you know who you labor with. Know who you labor with. Let's go a little further. So now he tells us these things. We're to determine the path, that fork that comes in the road, by the fruits. And he warns us that many will come in his name. And many will move in the gifts of the Spirit and all kinds of things. And oh man, they're just wonderful. But they're not right. And that's not the path to follow. In verse 24 he says, therefore whoever what? Hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now let me share with you. That's why you must have discernment. That's why you judge by fruit. Because you do not want to build the house of God, your house, your temple, on sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Wow. Great was its fall. Why? Because it was built on sand. Many people build on emotion. Many people build on all kinds of things, except for what God is saying. So you're going to have to discern what you're getting, what you're receiving by its fruits to determine. Even the Lord tells us to sow into good soil, doesn't he? We're to sow in the good soil so we can receive a what? Good harvest. So you're going to discern what that soil is. What's the fruit of that soil? What's that fruit? What's that soil bearing? And what is the harvest of that soil? So you can discern these things. Why? Because there is a fork in a road every time. It comes up. Even when you're on the right path, it will always come up. Go to Ezekiel 21. Now, I really believe that the Holy Spirit is bringing us so that we're more sensitive. There's more clarity. So that we're beginning to look more and more at the fruits. So that we're not misled. Because there's a lot of things going on right now. More demonic activity is being released. We got a government that's misleading us. Thank God we're under a true government. The kingdom of God. They're making false promises and all kinds of other stuff, and I'm not going to get into all of that tonight. I've gotten in it enough. If you ain't got it now, get a tape. But there's much misleading, and the thing is if people would have done this before voting for an individual, hello? It's possible that an individual might not be in office. And we wouldn't be in the circumstance we are. But I believe it's a part of prophecy. And when God is fulfilling his prophecy, it don't matter. You could pray and fast forever, but God's going to fulfill what he said he's going to do. In Ezekiel 21, in verse 1, please. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem, preach against the holy places, and prophesy against the land of Israel. And say to the land of Israel, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, and I will draw my sword out of its sheath and cut off both righteousness and wickedness from you. Because I will cut off both righteousness and wickedness from you, therefore my sword shall go out of its sheath against all flesh from the south to the north, that all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword out of its sheath. It shall not return any more. Sigh, therefore, son of man, with a breaking heart, and sigh with bitterness before their eyes. And it shall be when they say to you, why are you sighing, that you shall answer because of the news. When it comes, every heart will melt, all hands will be feeble, and every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it is coming, and it shall be brought to pass, says the Lord God. So we see here that there's something about to happen, isn't there? There is going to be a separation. There's going to be a cutoff of righteousness. Are you listening? And wickedness. There's going to be a cutoff. In other words, there's going to be a great separation, even more. And that cutoff is going to cause this path in a greater way to be expressed. Are you with me? Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Isn't God good? All the time. Galatians chapter 3. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Would you read it? O foolish Galatians, who has what? Bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? So what is he saying? He's saying, man, Satan's kingdom is at hand. It's at the fork in the road. Who bewitched you? Who bewitched you? Who moved you out of position? Who bewitched you to go back to the flesh when you started in the Spirit? Who bewitched you? See, three things that Satan doesn't want you to know is that he's involved in your everyday what? life and decision. He doesn't want you to know the what? Truth of the word. And he doesn't want you to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Does everybody get that? He does not want you to know these things. So in this, he says, who bewitched you? Now, bewitchment is using divination. It's using witchcraft to change you or mislead you in any way whatsoever. Go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. In verse 11. Would you read it with me? Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon, and he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling of those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a what? Mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So what he was doing was he bewitched people. He deceived people. Are you with me? To make a decision or sway them into an area of acceptance under the rule and authority of governmental officials, which was actually behind the scenes as demonic forces here. Has everybody got it? He forced them into this. He bewitched them. He tricked them. Anybody ever come to you and make you a false promise? Everybody has, one way or another. Amen? Then you wonder, man, what's up? Have you ever broken a vow yourself? Amen. Same thing. You made a vow and you didn't commit to it. Amen? It's the same thing. First of all, you made the vow, you might have had good intentions, but then you never fulfilled it. And that's where you got to wonder whether that vow was supposed to be established by God anyways from the beginning, or were you bewitched? Ezekiel 21. Ezekiel 21. In verse 18, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, appoint for yourselves two ways for the sword of the king of Babylon to go. Both of them shall go from the same land. Make a sign, put it at the head of the road to the city. Appoint a road for the sword to go to Rabab and Ammonites and to Judah and to fortify Jerusalem. For the king of Babylon, look at this, stands at the parting of the road at the fork of the two roads to use what? Divination. That's witchcraft. He shakes the arrows, he consults the images, and he looks at the liver. So understand here, Satan's kingdom is at the fork in the road using divination or powers of persuasion called witchcraft to lure, bait, sway souls to eternal separation from their creator. He makes false promises. He puts booze. He puts alcohol. He puts drugs. He puts sex. He puts all of these things. He tries to sway people off of the narrow and difficult path. In fact, if you talk to many believers, they'll tell you at some time in their beginning stages, man, they'll say, man, this is difficult. I mean, I'm dealing with a lot of stuff that I didn't know I had. No kidding. Those are called demons. You become a hotel. But it's time to kick them out. See, because all the time in the carnal arena, we've always, everything was outward. You know, if you needed more money, you worked more hours. If you had a headache, you took aspirin. If this was wrong, you did this. If that, but it was all outward. And then all of a sudden you became, you got to a road, a block in a road, a fork in a road, and you decided to go the right way, and you began to deal with things not outwardly anymore, but inwardly. Rejection. Fear. Addiction. Unforgiveness. All of these things began to come about that you didn't even realize, and they were coming more and more to the surface. And it's like, man, I didn't know I had these things. I didn't know I had these emotional attachments. I didn't know I had this. I didn't know I had that. Because now it's an inward walk. It's no longer an outward. And that's what's the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant. In the old covenant, it was rituals. In the new covenant, it's the ministry of the Spirit. So, again, I want to share with you that in this pathway, all of a sudden you'll be going down this pathway, and the next thing will happen, there'll be a fork in the road. And there'll be Satan's kingdom with divination hanging out there, trying to lure you and bait you. Oh, it has a form of godliness. It can have a form of godliness. See, but you're not going to discern by the gifts, are you? You're going to discern by the fruit. You're not going to discern by the blessings and the wealth. Oh, God has blessed me real a lot, man. I really know the Lord. Look at all the cars. Look at all this. Look at all that. No. No. You never discern by the blessings. You discern by the fruit. Always. Remember, right now, many people, now, what you know, think about it, now that there's a lot of economic problems going on, people are out of work, some people are losing their homes, you don't think that the powers of darkness are lurking at every fork in a row with divination to try to make false promises that you lure people into a damnation and separation from their Creator? More than ever. More than ever. And we must be careful and discern. And we're going to judge by fruit. Is everybody okay? Revelation 15. Tonight's teaching is called Fork in a Road. Hopefully it'll make you hungry to kick some butt. Revelation 15 and verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory, say the victory, over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing at the sea of glass, having harps of God. Now, you know who these are? These are individuals that went through tribulation. Do you get it? They overcame the mark. They overcame the beast. They overcame the image. They chose to die instead of accepting the mark. They were either beheaded, starved to death, or even tortured to death. Are you listening? They chose. Now, you know how the devil always wants to counterfeit God. So that's why you have the beast, the image, and the number or the seal. The mark. Who seals me and you? The Holy Spirit. Who came in the image? Jesus. And there you have the Father. So you see that the beast is associated with Satan. And the image is the false prophet. And the mark is the Antichrist spirit. Is everybody okay? Praise God. But they overcame, didn't they? How did they overcome? Well, the Bible says that they overcame by the what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, didn't they? They overcame. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. In other words, their confession kept them on the straight, right path. When they realized that they were either left behind, hello? were the and individuals that did not make the rapture, that were left behind. And people found out about the truth. Of course, you're going to have the two witnesses and 144,000 witnesses and so forth. And people who've known the truth and were moving in the gifts of the Spirit, were still practicing lawlessness and left behind. They're going to know the truth, but they chose not to practice the truth. And they're going to begin to tell people about what's going on. Plus all the tapes and all kinds of things that have been left behind. You know, I'm telling you what, when they break in my house, there's going to be a lot of repentance. Everything they're going to open up, there's going to be something there that's going to say, you've been left behind, man. You know, do this. So they'd rather have died instead of taking the mark, because they began to learn how to judge now by the fruit. They realized they had no choice now. I mean, it really didn't take a rocket scientist to realize what was going on now. Now that, especially after the body of Christ was gone.
Oh my God. But I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils.
Oh yeah, I had a girlfriend too. Oh yeah, I drank and did drugs on the side. But I still labored for you. Oh. I practice lawlessness. That means I know that I'm going to have to die another way. Because I wasn't willing to die to myself, now I've got to die another way. See, because it's accounted to man to die. And during this time right now, it's death to yourself, or you'll be left behind. And James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In verse 12, James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, what? Blessed is the man who what? Endures temptation, for when he has been approved, say approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Or his lusts. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, I want to share something with you, because there's three areas that we've got to always look out for. You know, how many of y'all know the devil tempts you? But it says, blessed is he who endures temptation. In other words, overcomes it. Blessed is he who overcomes. In other words, to be enticed to sin, or what happens is the devil comes to challenge you. Did he not come to tempt Jesus, but he came to challenge him in the wilderness? He will come to challenge you to find out who you are. What did he say to Jesus? If you are the Son of God. Even though you claim you're a believer, believe me, the devil is going to come to challenge you to see where your fruit's at. He's going to check you out, because he knows if he can challenge you to see where your fruit's at, he'll be back to use you. So we've got to be careful and discern in the arena of being tempted. See, so the devil's not only going to come in temptation, he's going to come in deception. Now, temptation is different than deception. Because in deception, it means he's going to try to manipulate you, deceive you. Temptation is more of a challenge to you. Deception means manipulate you. So we must be careful in the areas of temptation, in the areas of deception, in the areas of tradition. Because many people are so comfortable and of past and things that they've learned that when God is trying to do a new thing, they're not willing to go forward and move with the Spirit. And this tradition is going to cause individuals, and tradition, I'm talking about emotional feelings. Because there's many people who live by their feelings, and the devil's going to check you out in that arena. He's going to check you out in temptation. He'll challenge you. He's going to check you out in your deception to manipulate you. And he's going to check you out in your traditions and see where you're bound to in your emotional arena. So you must be careful in all of these areas. You can't be an individual that lives by how they feel. You must be an individual that practices the truth and can discern the fruit. There are ways. There's the dark way, the evil way, the right way, and a provided way. And I want to share a couple things about the dark way. Would you turn to Proverbs 4? Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 18 and 19. What does it say? But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like what? Darkness. They don't know what makes them stumble. Wow. In Psalm 82. This is known as the dark way. In verse 4. It says what? Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the what? Wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are what? Unstable. In other words, there's traps. Who's the ruler of the earth? Satan. So is the earth stable? No, not with the ruler of Satan. It's unstable. Is everybody okay? In Matthew 15. Matthew 15. In verse 12. It said, then Jesus' disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard what you said? But he answered and said to them, every plant which my Father, Heavenly Father, has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. So this dark way is an arena of blindness. It is blindness. In Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, evil way. I mean, we could go on and on and on, but, you know, we'd be here till Tuesday. So I'm just going to give you a few scriptures of each. Proverbs chapter 2, is everybody there? Verse 11. Glory. Discretion will what? Preserve you. Understanding will what? Keep you. To deliver you from the what? Way of evil. From the man who speaks perverse things. From those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who rejoice in doing evil and delight in perversity of the wicked. Whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. Does everybody see that? And what do they want to do? They want to deliver you, and the Lord wants to what? Deliver you from an immoral woman or a moral man. In other words, in the area of fornication or lust. You know, and it's just like, you know, when people are coming out of drugs and alcohol, the first thing you do is when you say, that's it, I'm done, I quit, you know, I'm going to get right with God and whatever. I mean, you get every phone call. Or people that come around, you call, the dope dealer calls you and says, man, I got free dope for you. The friends call from the old, from the past, say, come on, man, we haven't seen you in years, let's go, you know. And they find it strange that you no longer follow them. See, because even the people that you loved, even some of your own family members that you loved, you realize that there's another love. There's another love. Because you now judge them by their fruit. You'll know them. You know, when I got saved, I loved my mom and dad. But I realized that they were not my mom and dad. I loved them. But I realized that they were not my mother and father, that my mother and father was here, upward. I no longer belong to the family on the earth. I belonged to the family in heaven. But I would still respect and honor. But I no longer belonged. See, we no longer belong here. This is not our home. We're supposed to be living somewhere else, amen? That's why the Bible tells us to set our mind in the things of the Spirit, not in the things that are natural. Is everybody okay? Praise God. In 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Was that sweet worship tonight or what? I mean, man, I'm telling you what. Kick some butt. I like to see the devil leave with his tail between his legs. 1 John chapter 1. Ooh, yeah, nice. Verse 5. This is a message which we had heard from him and declared to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. Ooh, I love that scripture. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So how does the blood cleanse you from all sin? In other words, when you repent, repent means to turn away. Repent doesn't mean you're going to still stay and do the same thing. That's not repentance. Repentance means to depart from what you're doing. Change your mind. Then you will get cleansed. But if you say you know him and you're still practicing the same thing over and over, he says, you lie. You don't know me. Because if you knew me, you would depart from that. Hallelujah. In Jude. Just a few houses down. A few doors down. Jude. Verse 11. Woe to them. Man, when you see woe, forget it, man. Run. Woe means too late. When you see woe, it means it's too late. There's no butt ministry anymore. It's fire. Woe to them. For they have gone in the way of Cain, they have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while I feast with you without fear. Serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead. I love that. Twice dead, pulled up by the roots, twice dead. Sometimes they bring me my vegetables in a restaurant, I say, man, that's twice dead. Man, you killed these things. I want something alive. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Hallelujah, we're in there. To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all of their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. In other words, it's remembered. But when you repent and turn from it, then it's cleansed. Amen? I want you to get this, because it's not cleansed until you turn. Everybody okay? These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit or not yielding to the Spirit. Is everybody okay? You got it. Then there's the right way. We just did the dark way and the evil way, and then there's a right way. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. 7:7. Double completion. It's better than twice dead, isn't it? It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. In other words, the right way is to continue to ask. That means if you're asking, you know what you're doing? You're in prayer. Seek. Knock. In other words, man, there ain't no answer. Keep knocking. Somebody's going to answer the door. Don't give up. Be consistent. Continue to go for it. Ask, seek, knock, you'll find. In Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 7. Therefore, as the what? Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his what? Voice. Hear his voice. Listen. Do not harden your hearts as in rebellion in the day of trial and wilderness where your fathers tested me and tried me, and they saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold on the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear or listen to his voice, do not harden your hearts is in rebellion. So there's an area where the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, be anxious for nothing. Wait on me. Wait on me. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse 3. What does it say? Trust in the Lord and what? Do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Trust. Trust. That's the right way, isn't it? It's the right way. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Listen. Trust. Wait. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't be led by emotions. Judge everything by its fruits. Now there's another way I want to talk about it. It's called provided. Provided. 1 Corinthians 10. This provided way means he makes a way of escape for you. He provides a place of escape. So when that fork in the road comes and the devil is there doing his divination dance, you're going to judge him by that dance. You're going to judge him by the fruit. And God is going to make a way of escape for you. 1 Corinthians 10. Is everybody there? Verse something. Let's see. 13, I believe. Let's read it. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So you won't, listen, even though the devil challenges you, the Bible says if you're right with God and you're doing the right things, you won't get caught up in that challenge. You won't get caught up in that temptation. You will overcome it every time. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of what? Escape, that you may be able to bear it. So he always makes a way of escape for you, even when you're being tempted. Go to 2 Timothy 2. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this what? Seal. Yeah. The Lord knows those who are his. Why? You're sealed by the Spirit, not by the murk. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call out on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So God will use you to help rescue someone else, won't he? Ephesians 2. And then one more scripture. You can all go home and have popcorn. Make sure you discern when you're cooking that popcorn so you don't burn it. Yes, my office has smelled like burnt popcorn a few days. In verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the flesh, lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And the last scripture is 2 Timothy 4. God provides the way. Verse 5. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfilling your ministry. How many of y'all know you're evangelists? For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the what? Good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Yeah. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Again, I want to encourage you tonight that the enemy always, you'd be going down that path and all of a sudden, poof, that fork in the road will come. And it begins to use divination, familiar spirits. Spirits that try to portray and counterfeit the Holy Spirit. Who try to bring you promises. They know the word. But you must judge them by their fruit. So that you are not misled, deceived. You will be tempted. You'll be challenged. The devil will try to deceive you. And he'll try to move you by emotion and feeling. But you must stand strong and fight all the way to the end. Do whatever it takes. And that's what God is asking us. Will you do whatever it takes? And then he asks us, will you die for me? We'll see. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. We ask you to continue to give us the discernment. Lord, let the fruits be so exposed to each and every one of us. Even our own fruits, Lord. Even our own fruits. What right do we have to pull the tree trunk out of somebody's else's eye when we have the National Grand Forest in our own? So, Lord, we ask that you'd pull out the National Grand Forest in our own eyes, and we can help pull out the tree trunk in somebody else's. Grant us the wisdom and discernment and discretion that we will be about your business and not be misled in any way whatsoever as that fork in the road opens in our life. But they will stay on that narrow path, that difficult path that is best for us. And not the easy way out, but the righteous way out. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.